This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, San Francisco, Minnesota tonight. We welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, of course, Amal Shaw, downtown Las Vegas, there, Fremont Street at the D. But just set you up really quickly. San Francisco laying 7. We'll get into the key injuries. Minnesota in a bit of a desperation spot, so I do like them catching the number tonight. 43.5 as far as the total. Monday Night Football to close out the week. That is, as far as the NFL. Boys, we will get to this before Steve Fezzik, who's going to join in about 59 minutes, professional handicapper, because we are about an hour and 6 minutes from first pitch at the bank there. Arizona at Philly, Merrill Kelly, Aaron Nola. So we go back to the top of the rotation. Right now, DraftKings is showing $1.85 on Philly. No reason to believe Bryce Harper, all of a sudden a legend there in Philadelphia. No reason to believe they'd lose at home. And the number suggests just as much. Plus 154 on the total coming back with the comeback on Arizona. Texas and Houston, I'm all mentioned Scherzer, a bit of a fade situation there. Texas and Scherzer at Houston, Javier. The number's a little bit tighter than you would think. $1.30 on Javier plus 110 on Scherzer. You can find numbers all over the place, though, at certain books. Quickly here, and generally we don't do college football on a Sharp Money Monday, but sources are saying, and this is Pete Thamel on Twitter, Michigan staffer Connor Stallions bought tickets for more than 30 games at 11 Big Ten schools over the past 3 years. Also, video evidence of sideline taping is expected to be sent to the NCAA this week, caught by stadium surveillance this year. So more information. Of course, you're going to hear the narrative surrounding Michigan saying, oh, it's kind of a low-level staffer or a rogue employee. That is nonsense. And as this starts to come out, Jim Harbaugh knew literally every inch of this shadiness because he's a clown. And that's what Michigan football has turned into. It's turned in. He's really had a bit of a reputation 360 or 180, however you guys want to phrase it. But he's always been somebody a little unsavory underneath the surface. I'll let the investigation kind of come through here. But if true, this has nothing to do with a rogue employee, Amal Shaw. This is everything to do at the top with Harbaugh.
Yeah, I love when upper management always wants to wash their hands of certain things when you find out the person at the bottom gets caught. This is obviously, well, why would this guy go out and do this on his own? I mean, this is obviously
just fun.
Yeah, exactly. I just decided I want to make a trip to the worst place in the world, State College, Pennsylvania.
And gather the information, and the coaches are just like, nah, we don't want it, bro. So yeah,
we're good.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the punishment's going to be and what's going to come of this. This is going to be really interesting, especially with Michigan having their best season since 1997. They were dominant Saturday night, but Harbaugh's good. Patrick, you said it best. And I'm going to tell you right now, we can come back in a few weeks and play the clip where Patrick just said, I had no idea. It's just a rogue staffer. Yeah, right. Why are you employing somebody that you don't know what their job and their title is? Or their role, excuse me.
Yeah, it's more of an indication that you don't have your pulse on the program.
Yeah.
It's actually, when somebody says, like you just said, when somebody says that they've lost their program, show me a rogue staffer and I'll show you a guy that doesn't know what's going on with his program. That's actually embarrassing for the person saying it, big guy.
Yeah, and there was a video resurfacing last week that really, really like showed what was going on here. Greg Schiano, halftime Rutgers, Michigan a year ago. And at the half, he basically was flabbergasted saying, like, things are happening that shouldn't be happening. He was basically alluding to some shady business was going on. And essentially that's what's happening, for those that don't know, is allegedly they're filming the opposing team sidelines. They're getting all their signals. So when they play them live in action, they know when they're calling audibles and whatever plays they're calling from the sideline.
And Patrick, just to put a bow on the conversation, the reason why the college level does not use the headsets like the NFL.
They're going to now.
Well, it's cost prohibitive for the smaller schools. And so that's why you see there's four different people sending in signals. And what they do is they record it and then just kind of put it together with the film to get an idea of what is being called. It takes a little bit of time to do. But boy, what an advantage it gives you if you're able to do it properly.
Are Harbaugh and Belichick friends?
McDaniels, too.
There is a trade in the NFL. The Titans shipped Kevin Byard the safety there to the Eagles. We knew that Howie Roseman was looking for some fortification in the back end of that defense, and they got it. Byard grades out well by everybody's standards. So the Titans looks, obviously it's a natural progression to say, are they going to start selling everybody? And Field Yates is reporting, Big Guy and Amal, that, you know, the question about Derrick Henry, he says he's in his final year of his contract. I know it's a little bit
I don't know how to read those contracts.
it is weird. Final year of his contract, and owed $6.4 million for the balance of the season. So if you were to trade for Henry, it'd be a rental for the year, and you'd owe $6.4 million. It's not terrible.
I think it's a great move if you can make it work with the salary cap and you can give them the right offer that Tennessee is willing to accept. And Dustin mentioned Baltimore, Patrick. I know you and him were very high on this Ravens team. Nothing has changed about them. You add in a player like Derrick Henry, let's be real, as good as J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards can be, Derrick Henry's an upgrade over those two. It's very rare that you can add a piece that would allow you to impact your offense. And what a compliment to Lamar Jackson in that running game he would be.
No doubt.
They would
be undefendable. Go ahead.
They'd be undefendable. Also, I would say we want Derrick Henry. And what we'll also do is we'll take DeAndre Hopkins' contract for next year off your hands as well, if I was Baltimore.
Yeah, Hopkins has been really, really good. And there's no doubt about that. Okay, crew, let's get to it. It's time here on Sharp Money for Like, Love, Loathe.
Recapping the weekend of action with what we liked.
All right, all right, all right.
What we loved.
I had an awesome time.
Like, I know that you had an awesome time, okay? I think the entire town knows that you had an awesome time.
And what we loathe.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
This is Like, Love, and Loathe on Sharp Money.
Okay. Like, Love, Loathe. I'll get us started, boys. And I don't think this is going to be a popular like, but I'm going to talk about a 71-year-old head coach who has won 8 Super Bowls, 6 as a head coach. He's your 3-time coach of the year, and he went into a game last night in a weird spot, and that is, of course, Bill Belichick. 1-5 going in to take on a Buffalo team that we know is overrated. But again, they were 7.5-point dogs at home. They just got embarrassed against Dallas. Think about this. The Patriots got beat 34-0 by the Saints. The Saints are trifling. And then the Raiders beat the Patriots last week. No reason to believe there'd be a pulse coming back home to Gillette. You know, there's an interesting chess match going on right now with Belichick and Robert Kraft, and a report earlier today that Belichick may have agreed to a new deal before the season started. Maybe it's a bit of a parachute situation. However, the Patriots, who led most of the game against the Bills, were down 25-22 with a 1:58 to play. Then Jones to Gesicki, game winner. Just a really massive win for a Patriot team that you didn't think they had a pulse, as I mentioned off the top. So again, 300th win for Belichick. That's 28 wins behind Don Shula. Very surprising as a 7.5-point dog, but my like, again, it's not going to be popular. My like this week, boys, is the one and only Bill Belichick.
I thought a good bounce back by this team. You know, it looked like they were on the map. They were down for the 10 count, and they found the way to resurrect themselves against a Buffalo team that had a good opportunity with them knowing Miami's playing Philadelphia. There's a possibility for a loss. Could have moved up into a co-share of the first place in the division and failed to do so.
Bill Belichick's C game is still better than Sean McDermott's A game, apparently, because that's what we saw here. As bad as New England's looked, they still took down a team in Buffalo that some people were still holding on to potentially winning that division. I mean, I know we're not high on Miami as a show right now, but I do think that Miami is a team that will be there at the end. And it feels like Buffalo is like a year and a half ahead of where Tennessee is right now of trying to shake things up with their roster.
I think we were talking last week or a couple of weeks ago on the show that the Buffalo team just feels a little stale at this point. Now, I know they were missing pieces on defense, but what'd they score on offense yesterday? So, again, we've seen this iteration of this team. You mentioned the head coach, Dustin. It's kind of got a bit of a stale feel to it. A lot of dramatic losses in the postseason for this Bills team. I don't know if it's adding up, but not very good right now.
Yeah, and to your point about Bill Belichick, masterful coaching performance by him to get Mac Jones to look like an NFL quarterback. Once again, here was Mac Jones talking about the win yesterday over the Bills.
just continue to do it. Like I said, it's just a crumb, and just keep picking up those crumbs, and eventually you have a whole loaf of bread. So that's my goal. Just continue to work, continue to be Max, like I said, and it's just one game, right? You know, I always say that regardless of the results. So gotta, you know, do it again. Gotta fight every day and practice hard.
Did he say be Mac?
Yeah, be Mac.
Like talking about himself?
Third person, and he thinks that if you have enough crumbs, it becomes a piece of bread or a loaf of bread. You can just match it together.
All right. Well, impressive win nonetheless. Let's go ahead and save Amal's like for after the break. And I guess if you two have a thought, it's right now $1.80. Wow, on the Dolphins at DraftKings in the AFC East. The Bills plus 195. I'll say it. Even with what I just said about the Bills, I think that's the price right now. Jets 10-1, Patriots 75-1. Go ahead.
What about Derrick Henry to the Buffalo Bills? Does that help things? Because now you will have a run game to go with Josh Allen and limit some of these turnovers because he's just a turnover machine.
Well, it's definitely not going to hurt them, and I agree with you. The running game is inconsistent with this team. But, guys, I think their big problem is they don't have a wide receiver, too, consistently. I think they've got Stephon Diggs, who's elite, but the secondary receiver, I think it puts a lot of pressure on Josh Allen. I like this team, but I don't think they're as good. Patrick, you are right, though. At plus 195, Buffalo's a play. Remember, if they beat Miami in Miami, now they've got a one-game lead, even if they're tied, because they'll have two head-to-head wins. And I know we'll get into the Dolphins a little bit later on, but guys, this Dolphins team has struggled against upper echelon opponents. And I think Buffalo at plus 195 is a very intriguing play right now.
And Derrick Henry potentially traded to the Bills. Dustin just mentioned, we're just, you know, right now projecting. Can he play defensive tackle or linebacker? Because that's where the Bills, to me, like when you watch him, feel a little soft in the middle there defensively.
Miss Milano badly, too.
Miss Milano bad. It's
Tremaine Edmonds.
Isn't that a cookie?
Yes.
We were just talking crumbs.
Milano's a cookie.
Yeah. The crumb theme continues. Like, love, love. Next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off tomorrow, as a matter of fact. The NBA season, of course, and the VSIN experts have been grinding to get you prepared. The 2023 NBA betting guide is out. We dropped our college basketball betting guide today. In the NBA betting guide, you're going to get up to date previews of all 30 teams, futures, and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies. Plus, you get Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, helping you build an NBA betting model. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSIN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSIN Pro subscriber today at vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we're back here. Sharp Money. A little like, love, loathe. Steve Fezzik, his triumphant return for the professional handicapper in the third hour, so about 45 minutes. We are about 52 minutes away from first pitch there in Philadelphia. Of course, Merrill Kelly, Aaron Nola. We'll get to that. Our individual plays coming up in about 30 minutes there. I'll whisper this so we don't embarrass the big guy, but those of you that have followed along with Sharp Money know that the apple of the big guy's affection is a young lady there that works at the D. Her name is, I'll just say softly, but it's Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is working today. And remember, last week, the big guy was just, he was minding his own business. He was just trying to get out of the D. And Elizabeth ran up and was like, oh, you're leaving? And batted those beautiful eyelashes at him. And now, on his way to the restroom, which he goes every single break, the big guy saw Elizabeth and they made a little eye contact. Fair?
Yeah, I was trying to get out of the D while she was trying to get the D. Hey, we've been here for a few months, and it's the first time I made a joke where I say
it wasn't terrible. I know you had been sitting on it, so a good opportunity to use it, obviously.
I am going to leave alone that you said you can sit on it after I said the D, but we can move on.
Thank you. And Elizabeth looking good today?
Incredible. Incredible. She's an elite.
Okay. Oh, elite. Okay, maybe the word will get back to her. Now, love during this segment is saved for the elite performance. So right now we're getting to our likes. My first one was Bill Belichick, 300 wins. Amal Shaw, you're up.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. I think this guy's been fantastic for this Philly team despite the interceptions. He's got 8 interceptions on the year. Dallas Baker makes a really nice play on the pick six yesterday. But Patrick, if you look at the combination of throws with his mobility, it's been a difference for this Philadelphia Eagles team. I think he just makes winning plays when they need him most. You know, statistically, you might not be overwhelmed with 2 touchdowns, 1 INT, but still 23 for 31, 279 last night, almost 75% completion rate. Highest average per yards last night in terms of attempts at 9 per, so did a great job. I like where his momentum is, and then, of course, I think he's the best 4th-and-1 player in the National Football League. There's nobody better when you get lined up under center in terms of what his capability is. But to me right now, the way the Eagles are trending, he is what separates them, in my estimation, as to how they can beat San Francisco. Jalen Hurts over Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts over Jared Goff. I think that's where the difference lies. And if you want to throw Dallas or Seattle in the mix, over Geno Smith and, of course, Dak Prescott, I think Jalen Hurts right now gives them that edge and lifts that team along with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Just the playmaking ability he has is what the difference is for me with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's impossible not to love Hurts, yeah. The person, and obviously had his breakout year last year. But something seems a little off to me. He's so calm, and so sometimes even when he kind of just goes down, you think he's injured, but that's just his nature with how he plays. He's always in control. The interceptions are weird. Is he up to 10 already this year, where he threw 8 total last year, which is odd, right?
Yeah, he's got 8 this year, and you're right on one thing. I think the accuracy is a little bit down this year. Last year, he had just 6 interceptions the entire season. So his rookie year, in 2022, he had just 4, but this is a guy that's not turnover prone. You look at it for his career right now, he's up to 27 interceptions, but for whatever reason, the 3 interception game against the Jets, the 1 play by Dallas Baker last night, it's been a little bit off. I think you hit the nail on the head. The accuracy is not quite where it was last year. I thought last year he was just dropping dimes left, right, and center. This year it's been a little bit short of that. But I still think this team is dangerous. The running game has to be consistent. If the running game is consistent, I think this team offensively can challenge anyone.
Yeah, your 2 Super Bowl teams last year, the Eagles and the Chiefs, are both 6-1. Yep. So they're getting it done. Big guy, you got anything on Hurts?
Hurts, a little banged up. Came out in the second half with a brace on his leg. Hopefully that doesn't stop him as being the key part of what is the most undefendable play in the NFL right now, the brotherly shove. Here's what Nick Sirianni had to say about them running the brotherly shove.
1st and 9 every down. You know, every 1st down is 1st and 9. Knowing that if you get the 4th and 1, shoot, a lot of faith in that play. It was awesome. Again, just Jason Kelce starts it off. Jalen Hurts, is right there. You know, haven't been able to drive, because you've seen it, right? You've seen it across the league that people can't do it like we can do it. They can't do it like we can do it. And so I'm making my plug right there. Like, don't ban this play. Like, if everyone could do it, everybody would. Where's the camera? If everybody could do it, everybody would do it.
He's a weirdo. Kind of like that. That was funny. All right. You know, you were talking about the brotherly shove where, you know, like you said, it's an 8. Every set of possession for them is like, get 8 yards, you're good to go.
On that Super Bowl, they could have run that play 4 plays for 10 yards every time against Kansas City.
Yeah, it's super boring to watch. Like yesterday when Miami kind of put them in 2 tough spots, you thought they were going to punt towards the end of the game, and they're just like, well, why would we punt? So it makes it for a boring aesthetic experience for us. But anyway, all right, big guy, the Hurts, the like, you got your like?
Yeah, my like is Tyrod Taylor. It's Tyrod, not Tyrod. He corrected everyone like 5 years ago, and everyone still decided to keep calling him Tyrod because that's just what they did, even though that isn't his name. It's Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod Taylor gets my like not because I think he's the guy. Like, I don't think it's time for him to become the starter. I don't think he's a guy who's going to be a starter on a winning team anytime soon. But he opened eyes. And I think because of the way he performed against Washington, the way he moved the ball up and down the field, the quick decisions he made behind a bad offensive line that Daniel Jones has played behind week after week, and we've made excuses saying, well, he doesn't have the weapons or he doesn't have the line. That's why Daniel Jones isn't performing well. Tyrod Taylor looked pretty solid behind that line at like 34 years old, having not started a game in forever. So I think I'm giving Tyrod Taylor my like, because he's opening my eyes to the fact that Daniel Jones doesn't know how to read a defense, and he's never going to be the guy that I wanted him to be as the franchise quarterback of the Giants. So credit to Tyrod Taylor for having a nice day against Washington. Here's what he had to say when he was asked after the game if he wants to remain the starter.
That's up to coach. Obviously, if DJ's healthy, he's a captain of on our team, captain of our team, leader on the offense, and I'm here to support in any way that I can.
I want Tyrod Taylor to start the rest of the year.
Wow, you want to have
diplomatic. Diplomatic Tyrod there with the answer. No?
I think he's smarter than Daniel Jones.
Well,
I think Daniel Jones might be dumb.
I think that's an answer from a guy who's made $70 million in his career and said, I'm good either way. I love the answer he gave. I thought that was actually a great team-first answer.
He looked so calm and so decisive in the pocket that I was actually, like, depressed over what we've seen from Daniel Jones to start the year. And I've been the biggest excuse maker for Jones. I've said over and over again, you know, he doesn't have Saquon. It's hard to judge him when he doesn't have Saquon because he needs him in the backfield as, like, as a decoy when he's running that RPO. Or he doesn't have Andrew Thomas, so he's under pressure all the time. Tyrod Taylor wasn't under pressure. He got rid of the ball quickly. He immediately knew where he wanted to go with the ball every single time, and he pushed the ball down the field, something the Giants have not done all season long.
What's up with you questioning Daniel Jones's intelligence all of a sudden?
Because, again, I didn't think he was dumb until I saw a smart quarterback play for the Giants yesterday in Tyrod Taylor. He made quick decisions. You could tell at the line before the snap, he knew what he was going to see and how he was going to adjust, and the progressions were so quick.
My love this week is only 26 years old, boys, but it feels like he's been in our lives for a very long time, and we're lucky to watch him. He's polarizing. He's a dude that has completed 71% of his passes this year in a new offense. He's on pace to throw for 4,000 yards and rush for 900 yards. He's so good. He is, and that is, of course, a guy that broke Michael Vick's single-season rush record by 167 yards his first full season as a quarterback. He's the guy that won the MVP unanimously, the second player to do it, at 22 years old. Lamar Jackson's 26 years old. I love this guy. Opens the game against the Lions, 7 plays, 75-yard touchdown. Adjust again, 28-0 halftime lead for the Ravens. It's about as good as you can play. Yesterday, probably the best that I've seen from Lamar Jackson, who, again, threw for 357 yards, could have thrown for well over 400 yards. He, Edwards, and Hill, against the best rush D in the NFL, ran for 156 yards. I'm not being disrespectful of Jared Goff, but watching kind of the differences between Lamar Jackson than when Jared Goff would take the field was just different. He's a brilliant player, again, in complete control already of that new offense. The option runs that you see across the league, those were birthed by Lamar Jackson, who had a touchdown score on one of them yesterday. My love is Lamar. We're coming back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, the betting splits page is updated straight from DraftKings every 5 minutes. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits at VSiN.com. We got you back here, like, love, loathe. Of course, we are just about a half hour away from Steve Fezzik joining. We are about 37 minutes away from first pitch there in Philadelphia with the Diamondbacks and Phillies game 6. Dustin, a trade in the NFL. Did you want to clean that trade up a little bit? We talked about Byard headed from the Titans to the Eagles.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd because they're getting Philadelphia a significantly position of need, an elite player at safety in Byard. Apparently, here's the details of the trade. They give up a 5th rounder this year, a 6th rounder, I believe, next year, and they also trade Terrell Edmonds, and they upgrade to Kevin Byard. Now, from a Tennessee perspective, I'm questioning why they wanted or they allowed this trade to go down with two late round picks and getting Edmonds back to fill out the roster, I'd rather have that draft capital of something higher in the third round potentially than have a fifth and a sixth in Terrell Edmonds.
You just broke my brain.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
You're the best player in the deal and you're a rebuilding team. Why are you accepting a fifth and a sixth plus a player? I would rather just have a higher draft pick than a fifth, a sixth, and a player.
They probably weren't willing to give up the higher draft
pick. Yeah, I
know.
I wouldn't have traded him here.
Then you're going to be stuck with the guy.
Find someone else.
So you give the trade a D from the Titans' perspective.
Yeah, I love it for the Eagles. It's like an A for the Eagles. Kevin Byard's a difference maker in the back end there, and they need that. From the Tennessee perspective, I don't see what a fifth and a sixth round does for you.
Okay. Well, there are the details today. We'll see if the Titans continue to sell and see what happens with Derrick Henry potentially. I had, like Love Loathe, I had Love, no surprise here, off the performance. Lamar Jackson, Dustin mentioned he's your second betting favorite. Is that where we're at, DraftKings, as far as MVP? Patrick Mahomes, your betting favorite?
Not up. The awards market is not up right now at DraftKings. I'm looking at some other books here where he is the third shot on the board at plus 450. See, other books had him down to 7-1. He was about 16-1 a week ago. So it's a big move for him. I think he opened the year around 12-1, somewhere in that range. So big movement for Lamar Jackson. A week ago, you could have gotten 16-1. Now he's about 7-1.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Amal, you're up next for your Love.
Well, before I get into it, I got to give Mike Somich a ton of credit because he's the one who turned me onto this team defensively, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. They have been elite defensively. Guys, they're third in the National Football League in points per game at 15 per game. They're giving up 294 yards per game, but the three teams that are in front of them, within 7 yards of them, are currently the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, and the New Orleans Saints. When we think of defenses, these are three teams we apply from a defensive standpoint and say, these are very good to elite defenses. The Kansas City Chiefs are eighth in yards per game being allowed right now at 294. They're right in that conversation. They gave up 20 points to Minnesota. In the other games, 21 to the Detroit Lions, very misleading. 7 points came on a Brian Branch pick six for the Detroit Lions. Against the New York Jets, they give up a safety. They give up 18 points in that game from a defensive standpoint. Who would have thought the Kansas City Chiefs, who had been so reliant on Patrick Mahomes the last 5 years in five conference championship games and three Super Bowls along the way, would have relied on a defense to be able to catapult them to where they are currently? I think people are not realizing how good they are defensively and what they bring to the table. Any team that you have by week 7 that hasn't given up 21 points in an NFL game is impressive. And I think that's where I am in love with this Kansas City Chiefs team. We could talk about Mahomes and the offense all day and Andy Reid, but to me, it's the defense that deserves a ton of credit for this 6-1 start that has allowed them to have victories in a place like Jacksonville, where the offense only managed 17 points, but they got the stops in the red zone against Kansas City when needed. This is going to be the difference right now, in my estimation, in the AFC. If you've got to go to Arrowhead, now you've got to play both sides of the ball and beat both units. And I think both units are an elite category.
I think it's a good distinction. I really do. Spagnuolo's defense is the Super Bowl winning seasons generally peaked later in the year, but being this good this early on, I think is a tremendous call there. So Love Chiefs, but specifically the designation for Amal Shaw is the defense. You got anything there, big guy?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Did you know that the Chiefs were the 18th defending Super Bowl champ to lose their opener to start the next season? But they're the first team that's gone on to win their next six. And just when we thought maybe the style of play would be different, they'd be down, and the AFC Championship game wouldn't run through Arrowhead, it looks like it's going to do that exactly again. Like, it's just a different brand now for them. And when they need it, that offense can find a way to score with anyone. But I think it's a good point by Amal that this defense has taken another step up. They're picking up the slack, and that's going to be dangerous for them. They're still going to win 13 games. This is a 13-win team again. They're going to be the number one seed somehow. And it's a team that on offense, you're watching them day in and day out. You're going, I don't know if they're that good, but they're good enough.
Patrick, real quick for both of you, where are the possibilities of a one seed falling in the AFC? I feel like it's only a two-horse race.
Who are the horses?
Kansas City and Baltimore.
Kansas City, Baltimore, because the next one's Miami, and I think we all agree that that's a little fraudulent.
Yeah, I would just, I think the defense point is a very good one. This is the least nervous you are about that. I don't know. Kelsey's been awesome with his boot thing in the stands, though, right? He's reached like over 100 yards when she's in attendance. Like, don't sleep on the fact that he is trying to impress her.
Yeah.
Maybe you're onto something.
And as a new Swiftie, I'm kind of torn because, look, if she breaks up with him or they break up, he could spiral and have an awful season. But at the same time, we'll get a great album from Taylor.
Yep. Very good point. Very good point, Dustin. Always thinking. That's what I appreciate about you. You're next up with your love.
Yeah, speaking of something I haven't thought about at all, how I was going to talk about this guy. But Tyson Bagent, we covered him earlier in the show. I just love the performance against the Raiders. As a guy who went to a Division II school, I love to see a Division II player step up in the NFL and make plays. But a quarterback to do it is something we have not really seen before. He looked so calm, so collected. He just carved up a Raiders defense in the NFL on the biggest stage. And there was this clip going around because I guess there was a Hail Mary attempt at one point in the game. And they brought Nathan Peterman in. And I thought when Tyson Bagent was asked about his ability, if he would have stayed in to throw that play, it kind of showcased his confidence. Here was Bagent when asked that question.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a cannon. You know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I think that there was, you know, we're playing in the Windy City. I had one this week that came off my hand a little funny, but, you know, never want to get it twisted. Nate's got a very powerful arm as well. But I like to think that I've got an extremely strong arm, and the ball most definitely would have got there. But it would so with Nate, too, so I had obviously no problem there.
They all laughed. He did not laugh. He didn't even crack a smile. He's dead serious. He believes in his abilities. And based on what I saw, he's going to be in the NFL for a while in some role. Is there a quarterback controversy in Chicago? Should they just play Bagent here on out? Or do they, because there's a big decision coming up on Fields, they need to see when he's healthy how he looks?
What's your guys?
What's the field situation right now?
He was hurt. I don't know what his status is for this week. I did have a quote from Eberflus, who, you know, is real genius as a head coach. Quarterback situation. Justin's our starting quarterback. Tyson's the backup. He came in, did a nice job. We don't know where Justin is. We'll see where he is. If it's a week-to-week thing, we'll assess it tomorrow. But Tyson Bagent is the kind of guy who might back himself into another win or two here before the season's over.
Just say one thing. They didn't really take a lot of shots. There was a lot of quick, short throws.
It worked.
Oh, I'm not saying it can't.
It's not like Justin Fields has looked that efficient against other NFL defenses.
I'm not saying that, but he didn't get the benefit of playing Josh McDaniels' team.
It's true.
Did Bagent go to Valdosta State? Why are you riding so hard?
D2, man. D2 legend. He went to Shepherd in West Virginia.
Where's Shepherd? West Virginia?
Yeah, West Virginia. I don't even know what part of West Virginia. Exactly. All I know is Morgantown and everywhere else in West Virginia.
What's your third favorite city in West Virginia, Dustin?
West Virginia. I got
St. Albans.
No, I got to think. Go. Can I name a third city? Is there another city in West Virginia that I would know? Country roads. He doesn't mention any cities, though. No. I got nothing.
Shepherd. Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously everybody loves a backup. The story's great, but he threw for 160 some yards, right? It wasn't overwhelming. Yeah. Kind of like you said,
but
did
you
hear from Fields after the game? Just to ask,
did we hear from him? He said,
yeah,
no, I don't think he was made available 'cause he was hurt.
Yeah.
But it's just, the point is he's a Division II guy. He shouldn't be able to, in his first start, win an NFL game. I don't care who the other side is. That's embarrassing for the Raiders.
Would agree with
that.
Huntington.
That's a tremendous point.
Huntington.
I totally agree.
Oh, Marshall.
It is. Yeah, it is an embarrassment for the Raiders, who are 3-4. The Bears won 2 of 3. They're 2-5. Bagent is, and I'm sure I'm saying it incorrectly, I do apologize. That's the love for the big guy. We come back with our loads, and we'll get a play on the first of two Major League Baseball playoff games. Coming up next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, bet $5, my goodness, to get $200 in bonus bets instantly and bonus cash when you use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P, over at DraftKings. Make sure you check it out right now. Also, every day at DraftKings, a no-sweat same-game parlay. Make sure you check out DraftKings. The crown is yours. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. We've got Steve Fezzik joining us in about 14 minutes, and then about 7 minutes after the top of the hour, we've got First Pitch there, Philadelphia, of course, Merrill Kelly and Aaron Nola. If you guys have a play, maybe we can get through our loathes and get to those coming up here in just a bit. I'll go to get it started here with the loathes. And my loathe this week made Desmond Ridder look good, if that's possible. Maybe I'm being a tad facetious, but look, my loathe has, of course, a former number one overall draft pick. He's had a lot of opportunities at this point. And just if you're going by the eyeball test, it's just the arm strength isn't there. Uses everything to push the ball down the field. This is Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who got beat at home by the Atlanta Falcons. They've scored 56 points their last four games, so averaging about 14 points per. Again, 26 of those points came against the Saints, so a bit of an outlier there. Coming off the bye, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers scored 6 points versus Detroit and 13 points versus Atlanta, so not exactly clicking right now. 27 of 42 for Baker, a touchdown, a pick, a huge pick late in this game to hurt the Buccaneers. He was 19 of 37 for 206 and an interception against Detroit. He's just a game manager. They don't have a run game, so that doesn't help him. You need a run game to kind of help Baker come off of it so he can play action. It's not there. Again, Desmond Ridder was fumbling all over the place. 3 fumbles lost in this game yesterday. But just, you know, arm strength wise, Baker struggling right now. The Bucs aren't very good. They play in a terrible division, obviously. But he is, Baker Mayfield, my loathe. Kind of a different one this week, boys, for me.
I like the call on this one. You're absolutely right. This guy continues to struggle at crucial times. And you score only 13 points against the Falcons. You're in a home game spot. You got to be able to win that game. I just think that's a failed opportunity for Tampa against a division opponent.
Yeah, 42 attempts with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. That's not optimal. Had not thrown that many passes in a game since 2020. So that's not who he is. That's new, not who they need him to be if they're going to somehow win this division. And by the way, everything's there on that roster to win the division outside of, as you mentioned, the run game, Patrick, and a quarterback. Curious to see if we ever see Kyle Trask this year. Does that factor into the season at all? Desmond Ridder gave them, and Drake London with fumbles, gave them chances to win that game somehow at home, yep. And they let the Falcons somehow walk away with a win despite being careless with the football in the red zone of all places. You just can't let that happen. And Baker's inability to capitalize and make plays and get points, I don't even care if it was field goals down on the other end of the field, he couldn't do that. He couldn't push the ball downfield. And oh, by the way, he's got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin making up for some of his mistakes as well at receiver. So they're making him look better than he really is. Baker Mayfield is just, I don't love that ticket I have because of Baker Mayfield. I have Tampa Bay to win the South at plus 320. His inability to just get touchdowns in big spots, not looking good.
Nope, 100%, 3-3. Good breakdown there by the big guy, 4-3 for the Falcons as they walk away with a win. Okay, Amal Shaw, you're up with your loathe.
The Buffalo Bills. This is another loss on the ledger that they probably should not have had. You're an 8.5 point favorite on the road against a division opponent. Looking back, probably too high of a spread, not because of the result, but just the commonality between both teams there. How about this team, guys? Over the last 3 games, they are averaging less than 2 points per quarter in the first 3 quarters of the football game. They've scored 17 points combined against the Jaguars, the Giants, and the Patriots in the first 3 quarters. That encompasses 9 quarters in total. How inept is this offense until the game is in a position where you're trailing and the defenses are playing a prevent defense, giving you an opportunity to move the ball down the field? You know, we talked about it. You mentioned earlier in the show, Patrick, about this team just doesn't feel the same. Josh Allen, 15 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He has turned the ball over in 5 of the 7 games, 5 interceptions in the the three losses so far this year. It's the consistent ineptitude with this offense, the reliance on Stephon Diggs to make big plays, the lack of supporting cast on the offensive side of the ball for this team. I just don't get it. Their statistics are an outlier to me because the numbers they piled up against Washington, the Raiders, and against the Miami Dolphins in weeks 2, 3, and 4. This is just not a good football team. And the fact that Sean McDermott's squad is starting so slow in every game for the first three quarters is an alarming concern when you look at it from a Buffalo standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's a good breakdown. I will just keep on going back to the stale word that keeps on popping up when I watch this team. Middle of the defense seems a little soft to me. I think you mentioned earlier the wide receiver too just isn't there outside of Diggs. Yeah, it's a team that you don't have great feeling. Look, you can make the, if you want to make the excuse they didn't get up for their game in London, I don't know what excuse you make for a Patriot team that got embarrassed by the Saints, the Dallas Cowboys, and Las Vegas Raiders, and you come home and you lose to them as a 7.5-point favorite. It's not great.
No, and they've been close so many times, not just like when we were kids. I know, obviously, the four straight Super Bowl losses, but like they've almost gone to the Super Bowl a couple times now. And for whatever reason, no matter how many tweaks they make or additions they add to that roster, they still can't get over the hump. Josh Allen, obviously, this has got to be getting to him at some point. This was what he said after the game about the loss.
What is it that's preventing you from getting to where you need to be earlier in games?
Well, I wish I knew the exact answer because we'd have it fixed by now. So I'm going to watch this film and find a way to get there, whatever it is. You know, our season's not over. It's a long season. I know it feels pretty bleak right now, but, you know, we're going to figure it out.
Oof. Using a word like bleak for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, kind of weird. He's a little dramatic. He kind of rides the highs and lows a little. Stay off a bar stool, bro, and stop being so dramatic is what I would recommend to him. Like, come on, it's bleak.
I think bleak. I think it's being media aware and this is a bit conspiratorial of me, but I think it's being media aware and knowing the quarterback's going to get criticized. So he comes over the top harder so that the criticism isn't as bad. So he out of the gate says, we're not good enough. I wasn't good enough. It's on my shoulders. I messed up. So then people are like, oh, well, Josh is being a little too hard on himself. He played okay.
I don't know where you guys come out on Josh Allen. He's paid like a top three quarterback. I think he's not as good as maybe we kind of anointed him to be.
Yeah. He plays recklessly. He's a competitor, but he does play recklessly at times. And you can blame the defense all you want, but fellas, how many offensive points did they score yesterday before? I mean, it's like they weren't doing anything.
They scored 10 points in the first three quarters.
Yeah.
There it is. And then, yeah.
15 in the fourth, I want to say.
Yeah, 15 in the fourth.
Yeah, 15 in the fourth for them.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess I blame the defense. I brought it up because, you know, it's not like Amal just mentioned, through three, it's not like they were doing anything offensively.
He misses Brian Daboll. Like, Ken Dorsey clearly doesn't know what to do with him. And Daboll was, like, the only guy who really understood what to do with him. He's a unique player because he has a penchant for the turnover. You got to scheme him up certain ways. And right now, the way they're doing it is not working.
Let's get your loathe in, big guy.
Yeah, my loathe was, I'm not complaining about refs and officials. Like, it's not their fault that they're in this position. But I think it's kind of mind-blowing that in 2023, the year of our Lord, we're still relying on referees to gauge where a ball is, like in the air, on the ground, where they are in the field to spot them. When there's obviously technology where you could put sensors in the balls on either end of it. You could put them in the field in the markers. You can time things out to know when the whistle blows and where the ball was to properly look at where the ball is at the end of a play. Because as someone who bet on the Rams -3, watching the replay over and over and Sean McVay having no timeouts or ability to challenge, I was freaking out yesterday because a ball was clearly spotted in the wrong part. It was short of the first down by about a half a yard, and somehow the Steelers picked up a first down and they were able to kneel things out and the game was over. There's just too many big picture things on the line. Number one of it being money for the teams, money for the players, and money for the bettors, as there are league partners in the NFL, for you to be getting things like wrong that just technology would allow you to get it right now. Put sensors in everything. Make sure you know exactly where the ball is. And this matters for every play, not just first downs.
I would say there is a way, like, tennis does it so effectively. My guess is the NFL knows that they can do that electronically, but they choose not to, right? There's no other way. Like, they're so advanced. They're just choosing to eschew it.
Patrick took the words right out of my mouth. I don't think this is a question of technology. I just don't think they want to implement it because it gives you a little bit of suspense in certain situations. Yeah. And it gives you some arbitrary ability to make certain calls.
So I got to sit there with a bet on the line and rely on some guy in his 50s and his eyesight and his ability to gauge how far the ball in the air was to the ground and whether it went over this imaginary line that he can't see.
What makes you think they're that young?
Correct. Yes. To answer your own question. Yeah, you do, actually.
I'm a cataract away from winning or losing a bet.
Coming up next, he makes his return to Sharp Money. Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper.